Good morning.
It wasn't worship awesome this morning? I mean, it was so good. I think, Josh, you probably could have gone on, but, you know, it just was so good. You kind of wet our whistle for next week, if you know what I mean. I mean, it's so good to worship and be in the presence of the Lord. If you haven't tried it, if you just find yourself just standing there or just singing, boy, next week, worship. Amen? Worship and get into the presence of Almighty God. Anyway, good morning. And I'm so glad that all of you are here, and those of you that are joining us online, thank you for being here. It means a lot. Believe it or not, okay, we're going to wrap up our series on breaking strongholds this morning with part 14, which asks the question, and this is the title also, are you a reactor or a responder? Are you a reactor or a responder? And I'd like to start with a few questions this morning as well. So if you just listen close and see if, you know, answer these questions for yourself. I'm not going to ask anybody to raise their hands or anything like that, but just answer them in your own mind. Was that a no? Anyway, when it comes to dealing with difficult people or challenging situations, would you say that you have a calming effect on people or an irritating, frustrating effect on people? Just answer that in your own mind. Or would the people that know you say that you're like a soothing medicine for the angry, upset soul? Or are you like gasoline is to fire? I've been both, okay? And how do you reply to personal insults when somebody insults you and in injuries? Or how do you reply to volatile situations? Are you a reactor or are you a responder? Okay, and let me tell you, a reactor is being one that is controlled by the flesh. You react to everything, and you, before you know it, you've said something that you wish you hadn't. Okay, that's a reactor. Or are you a responder? Well, let me tell you what that is one who is controlled by the Spirit. See, when you react, you don't have time to let the Spirit tell you what to say. Come on. But when you respond, you can be controlled by the Spirit. And I just want you to be honest with yourselves this morning. I mean, after all, you and God know the truth, right? Right? But I'm asking you to be honest with yourself this morning. What areas of your life does your flesh seem to dominate? I mean, we all have those areas, all right? But what areas of your life does your flesh seem to dominate? And as a result, you can see that you need greater control over your flesh in that area. Okay, now think about those a little bit, you know. And these questions aren't just for the people next to you, okay, or the people behind you or the people in front of you, all right? All right, let's stand together. And we're going to raise our Bibles to heaven and repeat our Bible declaration together. Are you ready? Oh, are you ready this morning? I want you to declare this. I don't want you to say, this is my Bible. I want you to say, this is my Bible. Okay? Okay. I should have slept more last night. All right. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today, I will be taught the Word of God. I'll boldly confess my mind is alert, my heart is receptive. I am about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I'll never be the same in Jesus' name. Now, come on now. Let's go! Amen. Let's go. You can be seated. You know, sometimes when you don't get enough sleep, anyway, we've spent the last number of weeks looking at Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 25, with only a few exceptions. A few times the Holy Spirit moved and we heard something else, but most of the time has been spent in Galatians. So please turn with me to Galatians 5, 16, all right? And we'll read this passage for the last time, at least in this series. I hope it isn't the last time that you read it. Amen? Now, you remember what I told you 2 weeks ago. When you amen strongly, you bring something out of me. And it's not just me, it's any preacher. You know, I never realized so much when pastors say, now don't make me preach this alone, but don't make me preach this alone, okay? Give me an amen once in a while, amen?
Amen. All right.
Verse 16. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Pretty straightforward, black and white. If you walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not know the things that you wish. It's confusing, okay? But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now, the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the such, or and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Say, will not inherit the kingdom of God. So what's their answer? But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those that are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. I don't know about you this morning, or after, you know, really after this whole series, I want to live in the Spirit. Amen. You know, I want to be one of those ones that walk in the Spirit, live in the Spirit, and are focused where I should be. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Gary Timmer, would you please come up and pray for the message? And it says on these notes, thank you. Okay, I want to make sure I say that. Thank you.
Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this series that Pastor's been preaching. I thank you for Pastor as well. I thank you for the changes, God, that you've made in our lives through it. And Father, as he wraps it up today, God, I thank you that it'll just seal all of those messages, God, in our lives and our hearts and our minds. Father, that although we may move on to a new series, God, but that we would just continue to take those messages, take your word, Lord, and just have it flow through our bodies and our minds and mm-hmm. our hearts, God, that we would be changed for good. Mm-hmm. Lord, as Pastor preaches today, God, I thank you. Again, thank you for him. I thank you for the words that you speak through them to us. God, I pray that each one of us would just receive what he has to say, ultimately, God, what you have to say. Lord, change our lives in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. By the way, this is Gary Timmer, if you haven't seen him in the last few weeks. I love you, Gary. Yeah, I bet you do. In Galatians 5:22, where the Apostle Paul begins to list the fruit of the Spirit, he includes goodness as one of the fruits or aspects of the fruit that should be coming out of our life. When you examine the Greek word that's used here, we get a far more detailed definition than we get out of the English dictionary. But the English dictionary defines goodness as the state or quality of being good. Okay? That's a real revelation there. It's generosity or kindness. It's moral excellence, piety, and virtue. Now, the word goodness in the Greek is the word agathosune. Okay? I hope you caught that because I won't be saying that twice, all right? Which, of course, means goodness in the sense of being good to someone. It's used to portray a person who is generous and big-hearted and charitable with their finances. We would call this kind of a person, a big giver in the church, all right? And every church has those, okay? Every church has those few people, those few families that are big givers because they really keep the church afloat, okay? Because whether you know it or not, the AG doesn't pay us to keep the lights on. You pay to keep the lights on. Okay? All right, I'll stop right there. As we look deeper into this word, we find it describes the act of reaching beyond yourself. All right? How many of you have been in a church service and the pastor has asked you to give, and you know that in order for you to give, you would have to reach beyond yourself. It isn't something you can really do, but you decide to reach beyond what you can do, beyond yourself, and be obedient to the Lord. But it's to meet the natural needs of people who are around you. This begins to show you what the biblical definition is all about. Goodness is a picture of philanthropy, okay? That kind of giving, which is by definition showing concern for humanity, especially by performing charitable actions as in donating money. What you may not realize is this type of giving was also on display in Jesus' ministry. And we can see this clearly in Acts chapter 10, verse 38. It says this, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good. What did he go about doing?
Good.
Doing good. And healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Notice those two words, doing good. They're translated from this old Greek word, euergeto, okay, which denoted benefactor, and here's that word again, philanthropist, you know what I mean, giving. My goodness. I think I'm going to start praying that I could pronounce weird words, okay? That's it. What she said, okay? Which again is one who financially supports charitable works or one who uses their financial resources to meet the needs of disadvantaged people. The word was only used, okay, it was only used in connection with provision of goods or clothes or some other commodity that can be associated with physical or material needs. Are you with me so far? So this tells us, okay, that Jesus didn't only perform supernatural works like healing and deliverance and setting people free, but he also used his resources to do good works in the natural realm. And it shows that Jesus cared for the poor, all right, as well as the sick and those needing a touch. I mean, we talk about needing a touch from the Lord and needing to be set free, but we don't talk a lot about him providing for our natural needs. He provided for people's natural needs, all right? The one thing that this does, and I think this is so neat, it lets us know that goodness is in the nature of God. Amen? Goodness is in the nature of God. So when the Bible tells us that one of the things that the Holy Spirit deposits in us is goodness, it lets you and I know that God wants us to be equally as selfless. Okay? Equally as selfless. And what I mean by that is this. And it may not be good news to a lot of you. I don't know, but I can't change the Word of God. I can only preach the Word of God. We should be using our personal resources to help change people's living conditions, the things that affect them in the natural, for the better. The issue is, again, that this is so totally contrary to the flesh, which on one hand wants to consume every spare dollar on itself. Amen? Come on, amen? But when the Spirit of God is working in you, and I mean, would to God that we would know that the Spirit of God was working in us, okay? But when the Spirit of God is working in you, he shifts our focus from ourselves to the needs of those who are around us. Amen? And what does this tell us? It tells us that the fruit of goodness is a spiritual produced urge, okay? A spiritually produced urge to reach beyond oneself to meet the natural needs of those around us. Now, you know, you can say, well, I don't know if I can do that. But it's been put inside of you. Well, why has it been put inside of me to do that? It's been put inside of you, and maybe it's not acting yet, and maybe the Holy Spirit, you have to let the Holy Spirit activate it inside of you. But this is how God supports the ministry. Come on. Oh, we don't have to talk about money, but we need that money. Do you understand what I'm saying? And it isn't free to give hot chocolate away. Amen? but we're going to give it away free. It isn't free to do a lot of things. Just like I said, the lights don't go on for nothing. The heat pretty soon here isn't going to be paid for by anyone else but you guys. And I'm not complaining, but keep that in your mind. Amen?
Amen.
The goodness. You know, the truth is, there should be no greater benefactor or no greater philanthropist than a person filled with the Spirit and following the teachings of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen?
You can't pick and choose what fruit of the nine that you should have, because we have that aspect. We have the fruit, which is one in nine different aspects. Not eight, not seven, not six, but all nine. Amen? The whole nine. Okay. Which brings us to faithfulness, or faith, depending on which version of the Bible that you're reading. The English dictionary defines faithfulness as this: adhering firmly and devotedly as to a person, cause, or idea. Basically, it's being loyal, okay? The biblical definition is this: faithfulness is reliability, steadfastness, and loyalty. So along with goodness, the Holy Spirit produces the fruit faithfulness within us, and he wants it to come out of us. This word faithfulness is translated from the Greek word pistis, okay? Pistis. And it's the most common used word for faith in the New Testament. And it conveys the idea of one who again, is faithful, reliable, loyal, and steadfast. It also pictures someone who is trustworthy, dependable, dedicated, constant. And that's a big thing. Unfailing and unwavering. In other words, you know, if you're faithful, you do what you say you're going to do. Amen? You don't just say the good thing for people to hear. You do the good thing. Come on. All right? All right. But it's unfailing and unwavering. It's an unchanging, constant, and stable, again, unwavering belief or behavior. And just like goodness, this is also a part of the eternal nature of God. God is good. God has goodness, okay? God is faithful, and he is. It's in his nature. It's who he is. And you have to understand, we're called to be conformed into the image of Christ, who is actually God. Amen?
Amen?
John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. Amen? And the Word was with God. All right. But again, unfortunately, this isn't pleasing to our flesh, because our flesh is naturally lazy. And naturally uncommitted. Our flesh is just undependable and it's unreliable. So it makes sense that if the divine seed of God is in you, and I want you to know this morning that the divine seed of God is in you, if you are saved this morning, but if the divine seed of God is in you, the Spirit of God will begin to produce faithfulness in your life. Well, I haven't noticed that so much, Wes. You have to yield to it. I've said that over and over in this series. You know, all nine get deposited inside of us when we get saved. We have to yield to those things. It's almost like we have to call them forth. They're supernatural things that God has given us, and through the Holy Spirit, he works through us. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 9 says this: that God is faithful.
Amen.
Amen. That God is faithful. And we also read about faithfulness as being part of his character in Numbers 23:19. Where it says, God is not a man that he should lie. How many of you are thankful that that's true? All right. God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man, that's you and I, that he should change his mind. Glory be to God. He saved you. He wanted to save you. And I don't care how you've been behaving, he's still glad he saved you. In other words, what God says, God is going to do. What God says, God is going to do. God is stable. And God is unchanging. And I love that about him. I love that about him. That I can know because of this word, okay? I can get to know this word, and I can know that what he says in here, he's going to do. Amen? Well, he's so sovereign. No, if in his word, within his word, what he says he's going to do. And this is confirmed in Hebrews 13:8, where the Bible declares this, okay? Jesus Christ is the same when? Yesterday, today, and forever. Glory to God. Glory to God. The same. The decisions he made, Glory to God. They're the same yesterday, today, and forever. Again, since this unchanging, constant, stable, and unwavering behavior is the nature of God, and remember, his seed is inside of you, so it shouldn't surprise you that when God's Spirit is allowed to work in you, and the only one that can control that, excuse me, is you. God's Spirit wants to work in you. And you have to say, yes, God, yes, God. And it's so important that you yield to God and what he wants. But when God's Spirit is allowed to work in you, he makes faithfulness and steadfastness come out of you. It just naturally comes out of you. And I don't know about you, but I want to set the Holy Spirit free in my life, okay, to make me the person that God has ordained for me to be, that he is destined for me to be. According to Romans 8:29, and I didn't say this before, but we are to be conformed into his image, all right? And there is no better way to begin to let the fruit flow out of you. There's no better way to be conformed than to yield to the 9 different things that God wants to bring out of everybody's life. And you can see where those are stronghold breakers, because if we could all act like this, if we could all act with the 9 things in our life, there wouldn't be anything to fight about. Amen? Excuse me. After this, you know, Paul now lists the word meekness, okay, as one of the fruit. Although many have equated meekness with weakness, and they have, that's a very, very, very wrong supposition. In other words, that's not what meekness is at all, okay? That's like watching Princess Bride and Inigo Montoya says, I don't think you know what that word means. Okay. I'm old, okay. Meekness is not weakness. Meekness is strength under control. All right? Meekness is not weakness. It's strength under control. Moses was the meekest man. Christ himself said, Jesus said, that come unto me, all you that labor. And he mentioned in that verse that he was meek and lowly in heart. All right, oh, why would he say that? Bad confession. Well, because meekness isn't what you think it is, that's why. Because meekness is strength under control. He's not saying I'm weak, he's saying I got it under control, okay? The word meekness is the Greek word praoutes. I can pronounce that one. And it actually depicts a strong-willed person, okay? One who has learned through experience to bring their strength under control. And it denotes someone who is patient and slow to respond, especially in anger, or one who remains in control of themselves, even if in the face of insults and injuries. How do you do with that? I'm just asking, how do you do with that? When somebody says something and they insult you, do you act out of meekness? Probably not. Oh, I don't mean anybody in this room, okay? But probably not. Again, one who is meek is not weak. Say that with me. One who is meek is not weak. That's right. Quite the opposite. Meekness shows one who is in complete control of themselves, whether they're having a good time or having a bad time, whether someone's insulting them or someone isn't. Come on. Whether somebody's saying injurious things towards them or whether they're not. They still have themselves under control. I hate it when I get to the point where I lose control. Because when I lose control, I say things I really don't mean. But I do say them. And you think you have to say them until you say them, then you go, oh, that wasn't good. But meekness shows one who is in complete control of yourself, of themselves, excuse me. They might possess a strong will and a strong character and maybe even hold their own strong opinions, but this person has learned the secret, if you will, of submitting to those who are over them. They've understood that. So they know how to bring their will and conduct under control. Would to God that myself and maybe all of you, you know, maybe you would want as bad as I do to bring my will and conduct under control. In some instances, praoutes was used to describe wild animals that were domesticated or brought under control. Okay? So when the Holy Spirit is producing meekness in your life, you have the ability to stay under control, even in difficult circumstances. Has anybody in here ever said, man, that person really ticked me off? And then you go on to tell the person you've said that to, so I told them this. I would rather have meekness working in my life. I would rather, and there's been times when it sure has been, and I've actually even been criticized for not speaking up, but if I would have spoken up at that time, it would not have been good what came out of my mouth. I would have been a reactor instead of a responder. And believe me, you don't want to be a reactor. So rather than fly into a rage, okay, and throw a temper tantrum, you know, I found out that you don't have to be a kid to have a temper tantrum. That has no age on it, all right? Everybody, say everybody, throws temper tantrums from time to time. Temper tantrums. That's all right. But you're able to stay silent and keep your emotions and your temper under control. But how many of you know this morning that can be easier said than done? It truly can. It's so much easier to let the flesh go. It even seems like a good idea at the time. But again, it's not. It's just not. In addition to these meanings that I've told you already, the word meekness was also used in a medical sense, all right, to denote a soothing medication to calm the angry mind. See, a meek person doesn't project the demeanor of one who is offended or upset. You wouldn't know. Or angry and reactive to insults and injuries. Instead, the meek person has learned how to control their emotions. That's big. That's big. And be so gentle in their response. One time I said something so mean to my mother. I mean, I'm not even going to tell you what it was. You'd kick me out. And it was so mean. And I still remember standing in the kitchen at the end of the counter, her turning her head and saying, "Oh, Wes, I'm sorry you feel that way." Of course, the next thing is, "I'm sorry, Mom," you know. But a meek person, they become a soothing medicine for angry or upset people. My mom showed meekness. And it was like a soothing medicine. I wasn't mad anymore. I was just convicted. You know as well as I do that the flesh actually loves to get angry. And it loves to rage out of control. And for some reason, it thinks it's so smart. All right? It thinks it's got just so full of wisdom. And it never is. But when meekness is produced in you by the Holy Spirit, your very presence, okay, your very presence can become God's soothing medication for angry and upset people. That is amazing to me, that your very presence can bring that soothing. Amen? I was going to tell you at the beginning of this message, this is a short message, so don't be surprised, but then I was going to say I'll apologize to you later for making that statement, because I don't think it's that short. Anyway, I'm on 9, though, okay? This is the last one. Rounding out the 9 aspects of the fruit of the Spirit is the fruit of temperance, okay? Temperance. Much like the word meekness, but temperance is a supernatural self-control. And I'll explain it more later. It's a Greek word, engratia, okay? Engratia. It's formed from the two Greek words en and kratos. The word en means in, and the word kratos is the Greek word for power. So you're in power. You know, how many of you, sometimes when you let the flesh go, realize you're really not in power? Really, your flesh is, or the enemy is, or whatever. Okay? When these two words are compounded together, the new word that is formed is again, Incredia, and it means in control. And it denotes the power over oneself. Would to God. Amen? Would to God. So oftentimes it's translated as self-control, especially in some of the New English translations, your Bible might say self-control, okay, instead of temperance. This word suggests the control or restraint of one's passions, appetites, and desires. Just as a meek person can control their attitude, now here's the difference, an individual who has temperance or displays temperance has power over their appetites, their physical urges, their passions, and their desires. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, say through the power of the Holy Spirit, I am so, well say it, through the power of the Holy Spirit, I am so glad that, again, and I'm going to tell you that I preach in a church where they believe in the Holy Spirit moves still today and still uses people today and still transforms people today as he did back then, and I'm not in a church that believes the Holy Spirit is just a once in a while, hey, what in the world, what happened? I can't explain it, you know? Well, I can explain it. It's the Holy Spirit. Anyway, through the power of the Holy Spirit, that's the words that got me excited. These people are able to say no to things like overeating, and saying no to overindulging fleshly activities, and no to any excesses in the physical realm. So this is really kind of for you. You know, it isn't so much for the person sitting next to you or that you can push it off on them. This is kind of for you. A person with temperance maintains a life of moderation and control. The word enkradia translated as temperance could be translated as a person who has restraint and discipline. Amen? Moderation and balance. They have self-control. If the flesh is allowed to have its way, it will take things to the extreme every time. Say every time. It will take things to the extreme every time. What do I mean? It will over-worry. Hello. It will overwork. Yeah. It will overeat. It will overindulge, okay? Or run itself to death every time. How many of you know that you don't want the flesh in control? When a person is in control, excuse me, boy, that was kind of weird. But when a person is controlled by temperance, the temperance of the Holy Spirit, God's Spirit produces in them a discipline over the physical realm that helps him sustain their physical condition, okay? It helps them sustain they can stay in good health, okay? They remain free from sin and live a life that is moderate and balanced. I would like to have temperance, and I have it. I would like to yield to temperance more often, okay? But now that you better understand the meaning of temperance and meekness, let me ask you, can you control your temper and your physical appetites and your urges? Raise your hand if you're somebody that can. Are you able to restrain your emotions and keep your flesh completely under control? Or are you able to continue to have a good attitude no matter what happens? All these things that sounds so impossible are more than possible for the Christian. And it's in yielding to the Holy Spirit and letting him work in your life and letting him pull those things out of you that have already been installed in you. Or would you have to honestly admit that your flesh is really running your show? I mean, I know that we all have times where the flesh pops up. The old man gets up. The old woman gets up. Why doesn't it sound? Why it doesn't sound bad when you say old man, but when you say old woman, women don't age; they just mature. You know, men get old. Yeah, yeah. But think about it. Just like I asked you to think about those questions at the beginning of the service, think about these at the end. You know? Is your flesh running the show? Please hear me this morning. And I'll just give you a short sentence that's full of wisdom, okay? Are you ready? The two people that are ready, you want to follow me outside? And I'll... Are you ready? Okay. Don't allow your flesh to run your life, period. Don't allow your flesh to run your life. In the words of the Apostle Paul in Romans 13, 14, out of the Amplified, so this is going to take a while. No, not really. Sorry. But clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, and make no provision for indulging the flesh. Put a stop to thinking about the evil cravings of your physical nature to gratify its desires and lusts. That's a mouthful. And now here it is, the same verse, out of the Phillips translation. All right? Let us be Christ's men and women, from head to foot, and give no chances to the flesh to have his fling. That's what it says. Unfortunately, there's many of us in the room today where we have to stop letting the flesh have his fling. All right? Taking into account the original Greek meanings of all the key words in this whole passage that we've been reading, we could interpret it like this. No, I'm not rewriting the Bible. Make the path of the Spirit the place where you habitually live and walk. How many of you would like to do that? Become so comfortable on the spiritual path that you learn to leisurely and peacefully stroll along in that realm. Living your life in the spirit realm is the best way to guarantee that you will not allow the yearnings of your flesh to creep out and fulfill themselves. But that's what happens. Then you need to yield more to the Spirit. Well, I don't know how. There's many ways, many ways. For one thing, just having an attitude that goes, you know, okay, I don't want to be a reactor. I'm going to be a responder, so I'm going to take a second to understand. I had a pastor one time that told me, he says, I know what I'm going to say when it comes out of my mouth. You don't want to be that pastor, okay? you don't want to let things come out of your mouth without thinking, without being able to think and wait long enough in order to be a responder instead of a reactor. But as we close this series, let's just hear the charge of the Apostle Paul, okay, as he was standing, just like he was standing right in front of us, speaking to you personally, okay? I would imagine Paul had gray hair, right? I would imagine he had a beard, so there. Yeah, should have thought more. Romans 8, 12, 14 says the following. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons and daughters of God. You know, it's time to crush the cravings of your flesh and be conformed into God's image by walking in the Spirit. Amen? But, you know, this isn't one of those things that I'm giving charge for you to do, you know, as something that is, you know, here's your target, you can't really hit it. You can hit it. You can hit it because you have this already inside of you. I can't stress that enough. Let me close with this. A major key to walking in the Spirit is in starving your flesh. All right? Whatever you feed is going to live. See, this is wisdom. Hear this. Whatever you feed is going to live, and whatever you starve is going to die. Amen? Whatever you feed is going to live, and whatever you starve is going to die. Feed the flesh, and it will live and thrive. Starve the flesh, and it will just simply die. So, what I would ask you to do, okay, now that we're done with this series, stop and take an honest inventory of what you regularly feed your soul and spirit, okay? And what you feed your flesh is what I mean. As in, what websites are you surfing? What TV shows and movies are you watching? I'm not saying the TV is Satan's hell box, you know, but it can be. It can be. And what is it that you need to cut from your media menu? I'm going to say that again so you can hear that, because all of us have them stinking phones. What is it that you need to cut from your media menu in order to starve your flesh? And what benefits would you get from putting that media menu down and meditating on the Word of God? I've got some scriptures that probably should help you decide. If you can put them up there. Yeah, you can write them down if you want to. But just ask Him. Amen? Ask God for the power to keep your old sinful nature nailed to the cross every day. Because, you know, and this was a big thing when the Brownsville revival was going on. People were saying, I get saved every day. And it's not that we lose our salvation from day to day, but when you can say that, when you can say, I realized I needed Jesus this morning, and I needed Jesus tomorrow morning, and I need every morning. You see, that's the focus that we have to have. And I believe with all of my heart, because I know that the Bible also says that all of His promises are what?
Yes.
Again.
Yes.
Yes and amen. Definitely. That means He's not going to say, no, not going to give you that part of it. But and I believe that if you would nail your own your sinful self to the cross every day, that it's then, okay, it's then that you'll begin to experience the life like you have never imagined. I mean, I know. Pastors have a habit of getting up and telling you these great things that you can do, you know, and then really, they're pretty hard to do. But this, what we've been talking about, is something that's already inside of you. Already inside of you. If you have noticed that love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, temperance, faith aren't coming out of you, then all you got to do is ask. All you got to do is even make the statement, I yield to you, Holy Spirit. And make real that statement that we make or that we just made about being so glad that the Holy Spirit is still here. And he didn't go away when Jesus went away. He came when Jesus went away. Let me just back up here a little bit. Let me just read this again, okay? And think about what you've hopefully maybe learned in this series. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. There's no maybes in there. It just says, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Boy, I'm having trouble with overeating. Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You know, I'm having trouble with just saying things they spurt out of my mouth without me thinking about them, and I hurt people. Okay, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh, because that's a lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit. It's always going to happen. You got the flesh here and the Spirit here, and they just collide, and they do not get along, okay? For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another. I mean, they don't even want to be in the same room together, okay? So that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are these. And I'm going to say them one more time. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. Like I said before, there's more. Of which I've told you before, is what he's saying. Just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Why? Because if you let the flesh control your life, it will pull you away from God. You let the Spirit control your life, it'll pull you towards God. I should say propel you towards God. And then God gives us, I believe, anyway, with the fruit of the Spirit, he gives us an answer to all these things, all these works of the flesh. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ, raise your hand if you're Christ, okay? Raise your hands if you belong to Christ, okay? And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. That's you and me. If we live in the Spirit, which we do if we've done the other, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let's do it all day long, every day. Amen?
Amen.
Please remember one thing, and then I'm going to close. What you feed is going to live. What you starve is going to die. Amen? What you feed is going to live, and what you starve is going to die. Amen. Amen. Josh, why don't you come up, please? Thank you, Lord. Why don't you bow your heads with me, please, and let's just approach the Lord. Father, I pray right now, and I ask you, God, to just bring the conviction of the Holy Spirit on each person in this room, myself included. If there's an area where we have not died to the flesh, and unfortunately that's been our choice, but if there's an area where we haven't died to the flesh, show us. Show us. And Father, I just ask you right now, or I just want to say thank you. Thank you for giving us the fruit of the Spirit to combat the lust of the flesh, the works of the flesh. And if you can think of one of those areas, of course, he caps it off with, and the such like, which means there's a lot more of these things. If you can think of an area in your life where you've got to conquer that, and it really seems to get in your way with growing in the Lord, and you want to grow in the Lord, you do. If you're a Christian, you want to grow in the Lord. You have to grow in the Lord daily. But if you can think of something that's in your life, maybe it's one of these things, maybe it's something else, but if you can think of something in your life that's hindering you, I'm going to open the altar. Why don't you stand with me? It makes it easier for you to come to the altar, okay? And I want you really to think about this, because probably without knowing you, I know the answer to it, okay? If there is something in your life, to one person it might not be a whole lot, but to you it's holding you up. And if you want to get rid of that, which I'm sure you would, why don't you come forward and come to this altar and let's pray. How many of you believe in prayer, that God answers prayer?
Amen.
Then why would you not come, I guess? Just come to this altar if there's something in your life that God has shown you that you'd surely be all right with letting go. Okay? And this could be, it just could be the opportunity that God has made for you this morning in the little church in Coopersville at 10 o'clock on a Sunday morning. He's going to minister deliverance to you from that thing that's in your life that seems to be blocking your moving ahead with God. I'm going to wait just a couple seconds longer. If that's you, please don't be embarrassed, ashamed, or anything. Come up here and be a part of this so you can get in on this prayer. Amen. Maybe you're impatient. That can't be too sinful. No, but impatience isn't good. He gives you patience. Thank you, Lord. Heavenly Father, you see those that have come up, God, and I pray that this would just be the day. That it would just be the day that thing in their life, whether big or small, that's keeping them from moving forward in a relationship with you, I pray that it would be gone in the name of Jesus. Just gone in the name of Jesus. And there may be more things that arise, but God, I know that nothing is too difficult for you. And God, you can take care of those things too. But today, for the things that are upon the minds of the people that have come forward, God, I pray that you would break those habits in Jesus' name. Break those old paradigms in Jesus' name. And I pray that you would put a desire within their heart to just yield to the Holy Spirit. Yield completely. To be able to say with honesty, whatever you want, Lord. I'm willing to do whatever you want. And I pray that right now, all of those things would happen. I pray that every single thing would happen. And that they'd be able to look back and say, it was on the 23rd. Excuse me, the 24th. That I let those things go at the altar of God. And those things are gone. And God, I pray that it would just bring about just a cause for rejoicing. For rejoicing, God. Just that they would praise you and honor you and glorify you. Like the song that we sang, we might not have anything for you except for a heart that sings hallelujah. I got nothing fit for a king except for my heart that says hallelujah. And I pray it would be so in Jesus' name. And I want everybody to shout with all of their might, amen and amen. Let's do it again. Amen and amen. Why don't you praise the Lord this morning? You say thank you for what he's doing in your life. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I tell you, nothing is too difficult for the Lord. So you know what's too difficult for the Lord? Nothing. Okay? It doesn't matter how big, how small. Nothing is too difficult for the Lord. And he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if he wanted to set somebody free way back in the past, he wants to set them free right now.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. I don't know what I'm going to do next week when I go to write the title. But break those strongholds in your life. Break those strongholds. Amen. Amen and amen. You can spend more time around the altar if you want to. You can be seated if you want to. We've got a couple things to do with missions this morning.